it later. That's not okay, Calgary. But it's so good to be with you guys this morning. It's so good to be with you if you're watching online. My name is Naomi. I am the youth pastor here at Eastside City Church. And yeah, it's epic. It's a party every Friday night. And this morning, I get the privilege of really just sharing a word with you and taking part in our series, Surrender, the Freedom of Letting Go. And so I have a question for you. And my question is, do you remember a time when you were asked to do something that seemed unfair? Do you remember that? Well, at home, my mom would often do this with my sister and I in time of conflict. She would, at the end of conflict, she would come up at the end and she would make us apologize to one another, you know, and then she would bring up this line, "Do you forgive your sister?" Why do you forgive your sister? Okay, now you have to understand that, like, usually I was just as tender-hearted, as merciful, like the Lamb of God, and I would forgive my sister. And my sister, she had to wrestle with this, struggle with this, you know. So, yeah. But there was this one particular event. I am still traumatized by it. My sister decides that after school, she wanted to practice a move on me. But I have to give you a bit of background, a bit of context. This is happening in junior high. I'm in high school. My little sister, me, big sister, and her whole goal at the time is to be athlete of the year. She believes she was created to make athlete of the year. That is her purpose. It is her God-given dream. That is her ambition. Athlete of the year. Which meant, according to her, that I had to be her guinea pig for every sport. Not athletic. If you know me, I actually do not like sports. I was a band geek. I loved the comfort of food. I loved the comfort of just anything comfortable. I did not like anything uncomfortable. So why make me your guinea pig? But according to my sister, and at the time, according to her world, I was rightfully so the ideal candidate. And the sport on this particular day that she wanted to practice on me was wrestling. Yes, wrestling. And she comes home after school. She's so excited about this move that she learned. And she's like, "Hey, I learned this new move. It's called the chicken wing. Can I try it on you?" And before I could even say yes, I became a chicken wing. My body was bent in ways a body should never need to bend. I was folded and put in positions I didn't even know I could get into. It was horrifying. It was terrifying. I was upset. I was angry. I was righteously furious, right? Remember, Lamb of God, me? Righteously furious. My anger was righteous. And my mom, of course, she shows up at the end of this. Parents' timing is amazing. At the end of the conflict, she shows up. She begins to unfold me back into my human form, back into the body that the Lord gave me, adjusting my muscles, you know, putting bandages on me, right? And I kind of recover my breath, and she does what she does. Apologize to your sister. My sister apologizes with the grin on her face, really happy she pulled that move off, you know. And then to me, she says, "Do you forgive your sister?" Excuse me? Do you forgive your sister? No! No, I do not! It's not fair! It's not fair! I don't forgive her! How dare you ask me that question? And according to my mother, we were required to forgive always. And you know what? God has the same standard for us believers. We are called to forgive always. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 18, we get to see Jesus explain his reasoning and through a parable. And if you could turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, sorry, turn to your Bibles. Matthew chapter 18, I'll be reading from the NLT version and verses 21 to 35. It says, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not even 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Let's just pause there. Some versions say he owed him 10,000 tenants. And if we were to bring that in today's time and age, the currency would be $3 to $7 billion. He owed $7 billion. This amount is unpayable. Okay, verse 25. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell before his master and begged, "Please be patient with me. I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. And in other versions, it says 100 denaries, which is about 100 days of work. It's about maybe like $10,000. He grabs him by the throat and demands instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little bit more time. "Be patient with me. I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the men arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Jesus says, that's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. It is very clear that although we might have many reasons to withhold forgiveness, God calls us to forgive always. So the question now is, how do we forgive when it just doesn't seem fair? How do we forgive when our reasons to withhold forgiveness seem right, especially in times of disappointment, in times of deep hurt, of humiliation, of offense? How do we forgive when it just doesn't seem fair? The truth is that Jesus actually understood that we would have many reasons to withhold forgiveness. And he actually walks through some of those reasons and addresses them. And we get to look at them today. And one of them, which is kind of the reality of forgiveness, is that forgiveness is hard. Would we agree that forgiveness is hard? It's a hard thing to do. Forgiveness is to surrender, to let go of a grudge, to release someone from our hearts, and instead show mercy. Instead show mercy, and based on what we know about our human nature, man, is that hard. Our nature is retaliation. And so when Peter is asking the question, "Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother?" And he's like, "Well, 7 times. He's actually pretty proud. You know, he's like, 7 times, no? And he's like, "That's a good number. You know, 1, 2, 3. No. 7 times. It's abundant. It's a good number in his eyes. It seems right. Like, really, how many times ought you to forgive someone who's constantly offending you or someone who offended you deeply?" And Jesus says, "Oh no, 70 times, 7 times, 490 times, 490 times. And he is implying always, all the time. And in his response, Jesus, actually, there's an emphasis that as believers, we ought to take on new habits and new ways. And so as believers, we ought to pick up this new practice, this habitual practice, this continuous 490 times, and apply it to our everyday lives. We ought to forgive always because we are made new. But it's hard. In Ephesians 4, 31, 32, Paul is writing to the church, reminding them to stop doing what is natural, what comes easy to their sinful nature, and instead live according to their new identity, right? And part of that is picking up forgiveness. And if you read verse 31, 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, forgiveness, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Instead, choose forgiveness. And as believers, we are given a new identity, and Jesus is aware of how hard and how unnatural to our sinful nature it is to just forgive. But because we are made new, we ought to forgive always. Another reason that Jesus calls us to forgive is that we were never meant to carry the weight of unforgiveness. If our hearts are heavy and burdened by unforgiveness, over time we produce the fruit of unforgiveness. Anger, rage, wrath, resentment, harsh words, harsh behavior, irrational behavior. And we see that in our unforgiving servant. What does he do? Get him by the throat. Picks him up by the throat. Other versions say he actually chokes him. He seizes him. The fruit of unforgiveness. And instead, we are to produce good fruit. But we can't do that when our hearts are heavy. The fruit we ought to produce is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. And the Bible says in Psalm 55, 22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. We are not meant to carry the burden of unforgiveness. In Matthew 11, 28, 30, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. You're not meant to carry the weight of unforgiveness. Another weight we aren't meant to carry is the weight of being judge or being Lord. In the passage, our servant is begging for mercy, just as the king, and the just thing that the king would have done to him was to let his family be sold so that they can pay their debt. And interesting to see that the servant, however, refuses the plea of his brother to pay off his debt and instead has him put in prison. And for him, that is the just act, wanting him to feel the pain that I felt. Wanting to inflict on him what was inflicted on him. And placing himself in a position where he feels like he is the one to bear the role of judge and to determine who is righteous and what is just. And it's important for me to say what forgiveness is not when we come to this topic of justice. Forgiveness, in Lewis Smedes, The Art of Forgiveness, he does a great job at laying a list of what unforgiveness is. So he says, forgiveness is not ignoring or forgetting. Ever heard the saying, forgive and forget? It's actually not biblical. Forgiveness is not condoning or excusing. Forgiveness is not tolerating or allowing further abuse. Forgiveness is not even reconciliation or restoration. It's a byproduct of that, but it's not it. Forgiveness is not allowing those who hurt us to go without consequences. Forgiveness is not returning to the way things were before. Forgiveness is something we do in our hearts. And so the principle here is that where God has the ability to separate sin from the sinner, often we see the sinner and the sin as one, making us unable to carry the weight of judge or Lord. We're not meant to carry the weight of judge or Lord. And finally, the most important reason as to why we are to forgive according to Jesus is that if we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. God will not forgive us. And the reason here is we owe such a great debt that compared to those who are indebted to us, our debt is far great. And so we know God is merciful. And God in his word has countless examples of him extending his mercy when humanity does not deserve it. And the greatest example of this is at the cross. At the cross, we see the Son of God being used as payment for what? Our sins. Not just our one sin, our many sins. Not just my sin alone, our collective sins. There's a quote from John Piper that says, Jesus died to rescue us from God's wrath because we could never pay the massive debt we owed the Father. Because of this, anyone who can recognize how great their sin is receives the forgiveness of God and believes that he is Lord, and is set free. Where the price would have been death because of our sin, God made a way. There's another quote by John Piper, and it says, the way I put it is like this. If the forgiveness that we receive at the cross, at the cost of the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is so ineffective in our hearts that we are bent on holding unforgiving grudges and bitterness against someone, we are not a good tree. We are not saved. We don't cherish this forgiveness. We don't trust in this forgiveness. We don't treasure and embrace this forgiveness. We are hypocrites. We are mouthing. We haven't felt the piercing, joyful wonder that God paid the life of his Son. I mean, how in the world could I hold a grudge against somebody when I have not been offended nearly like God has been offended? So highly that he has to pay the life of his Son in order for me to be forgiven. The truth is, God is forgiving. God is forgiving always. God forgave us. The problem is that we often forget how great our debt is. And because of this, we are no different than the servant in the parable. And just like him, we will not extend forgiveness. And just like him, and the king, he did not extend forgiveness to him, so shall it be to us. God will not extend forgiveness to us. So, how then do we forgive when it doesn't seem fair? One of the first things that we see in Matthew 18 is this idea of leaning on the body. We lean on the body. And here, it's the choice to forgive is ours, and is done by us alone. But the journey to forgiveness does not have to be walked alone. And in Matthew 18, right before the parable, Jesus walks through what do we do when we are wronged. Matthew 18, verse 15. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. The heart behind this passage is that there is safety and support in the body. Did you recognize how the first time you go alone, the next few times you don't go alone? You find safety in the body. There is safety and there's support. And the body of Christ ought to be a safe and supportive place for those who are hurting. As believers, we need to be people who can listen. We need to be people who can listen. Who can offer spiritual support, offer encouragement, offer comfort, offer love. Out of love for one another. You know, this is the reason why we are encouraged to join life groups. In life groups, you find your community, a small tribe of people who can walk with you, support you, journey with you, listen to you, carry you when you're weak, when you're burdened. Life groups, we find support, encouragement, comfort, love. And it's much needed when we are wrestling with forgiveness. The next thing we do on top of leaning on the body is we also lean on Jesus. We lean on Jesus. Jesus empathizes with our hardships. He understands how hard it can be. He understands when we wrestle with this. He welcomes us to trust him with our hearts. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence." Confidence can also be used as trust. "So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In our time of need, in our time of hardship, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. And let Jesus walk with us the journey of forgiveness, because he has walked it too. He understands how hard it is to wrestle with forgiveness. And he has had to walk that journey. And we can lean on Jesus because he empathizes with how hard it can be to let go. And lastly, we let go and we allow love to set us free. I came across this video a few months ago. And in this video, it's an influencer. And basically, he records this important phone call. And it's a life-altering phone call. He is about to call the man who abused him 20 years ago. When he was a child, a man abused him, and he, after 20 years, is about to call him and tell him that he forgives him. And he says, and I paraphrase, "It's been 20 years since the last time I saw you. We haven't spoken. You never made the effort to right your wrong. And 20 years ago, you hurt me. You left me crippled with pain, shame, and it created insecurities. I've had a hard time trusting in my adult life. And I want you to know that I forgive you. I want you to know that I forgive you." And he took this sigh of relief and began to cry. And for the first time in 20 years, a weight had been lifted. Let go and let love set you free. And it's important for us to acknowledge that this journey towards forgiveness, to letting go, to releasing, to leaning on the body, to leaning on Jesus, to letting go is not an easy journey. It's hard. But with the encouragement, with the support of the Holy Spirit, with the love of God, it's possible. It's possible that we can forgive always, regardless, despite every reason we might have to withhold forgiveness, we can forgive. Amen. And on the other side of forgiveness is freedom. It's lighter hearts, it's healing, it's redemption, it's restoration, it's reconciliation, it's hope, it's being set free, it's being made new, it's peace. On the other side of forgiveness is a new hope. We are free. We let go of the weight. We make the decision that seems unnatural. And we trust that God, because He has forgiven us, we can do it too. And this morning, I would like to pray for anybody who is ready, and I say ready, to make that decision. Because maybe for the first time you're realizing that I don't have to go through this alone. So maybe the decision you need to make is lean on the body. And maybe you're realizing that I've had the ability to lean on the body. So the decision you need to make is lean on Jesus. And then maybe today you're making the decision to let go. And I would love to pray with you. So if we could bow our heads and close our eyes. If you are ready to make the decision to let go, to surrender, to forgive, please put your hand up. I would love to pray with you. That's awesome. Let's pray. Lord, you see our hands. Father, you see the hands of my brothers and sisters. And God, we thank you that you forgave us first. God, thank you. Thank you that you forgave all of our sins. And God, thank you that this morning you're showing us that we can forgive too. And God, thank you that on the other side is the gift of healing, our hearts being made whole. And so, God, I pray that you would give us the wisdom today. Give us the wisdom to do this journey of life the way that you do. We ask for your Holy Spirit to continue to guide us in our relationships. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Amen. And this morning, if you came in and you don't know Jesus, but you realize that there is a merciful God who wants to forgive you. And actually, at the cross, he did forgive you. And you want to know this God and you want to follow Jesus. I would love to pray with you as well. So if you can bow our heads again, close our eyes, and this time, please repeat after me. And if that's you, just gently slip your hand up in the air. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry that it was my sin that brought you to the cross. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I ask that you would come into my heart. I want to follow you. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says, you are a follower of Jesus today. Isn't that good news? You are forgiven. And so, church, how do we forgive when it doesn't seem unfair? We lean on the body. We lean on Jesus. And we let go and allow love to set us free. Amen? Amen. Awesome. So if you need prayer today, myself and the prayer team will be up here to pray with you, encourage you, and for everybody else, enjoy this snowy day. Sure love you. Thank you.